Back on.
We're back on, and we're back on with Mike too.
Yes.
Today we've got a special guest, Maddie.
Who's Anton Krupicka?
So Matt is a muscly version of Anton Krupicka.
Get out. Okay, cool.
So Anton is my hero. He's a really big dude in the world of ultra marathon trail running in America. Spends a lot of his time in Colorado and just runs mountains and he just loves it. He like spent 6 months living in his friend's closet to like train for this one race. He just does a whole lot of crazy things, and he's got his long hair and his beard, and he just runs.
Now like, I get it.
You could be an ultra runner, beanie, checkered shirt, long hair, beard.
And Anton, he wears short shorts, and when it's cold, he runs in a flannel.
Really?
That's you.
That's so good.
So you got
got jeans on today, but
Google
cold,
image
so.
Anton Krupicka. So that's who we're talking to. Matt is the owner of Accelerate. Owner?
Owner or co-owner.
Co-owner of Accelerate Strength. Which is just down the road from us here in iMove in Roselle in Sydney.
We were guests on your podcast not too long ago, talking about running as well, of course.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I asked you guys to come on to give me the running side of, you know, strength and performance. So.
Yeah. So as the owner of a gym, you've got your own podcast called Accelerate Strength, right?
Yep. So Accelerate Strength podcast. Yeah. Accelerate Super creative. Podcast. Yeah.
So we came on their podcast to talk about the running side of things. Now we're getting Matt on podcast to talk about the strength side of things
and sort of Matt's story into running, or hopefully into running at some point. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what comes up, actually.
So now Accelerate Strength, formerly CrossFit, or still is CrossFit. What is it?
Yeah, so it started 5 years ago
with
Sean and myself. And we fell in love with CrossFit before that through our own pathways.
Yeah.
And we started as a CrossFit affiliate, which was CrossFit Agilis at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So as a CrossFit affiliate, you get access to their company and use of the brand name and a learning of their systems. But anyone can go and do a CrossFit course. And like you guys could go and do that this weekend.
Yeah.
And come back and do nothing else with CrossFit. And just it's just another course, right?
Yeah.
But for us as an affiliate, we have to do that in order to run that affiliate.
Yeah.
And we use their systems and methodologies to train people.
Yeah.
Right. So that was about 5 years ago. And then we rebranded last year.
Mm.
Did I ask you guys what your perception of CrossFit is, by the way? What's your perception of CrossFit?
No, you didn't.
Well, what is it?
Oh, I wish you could have asked me this 2 years ago, because I would have given a very different answer to what I gave.
Do you remember what answer you would have given 2 years ago?
If I were to say my perception of CrossFit 2 years ago is people who globally would put more weight on how many reps they do and someone shouting down their neck, as opposed to like form and function and like actually doing things well.
That's a nice pun there, more weight.
Yeah, more weight.
Yeah.
I always saw CrossFit as you lifting heavy shit with terrible form, and it doesn't matter how you do it. Just get the weight off the ground, up and down as quick as you can, as many times as you can, until you snap something.
To some extent.
What I thought CrossFit was.
Yeah.
Until I started being exposed to CrossFit myself.
What's the perception now?
It's a really good way to train and move.
How'd you learn that, actually?
So two of Mike and I's colleagues, Michi and Haydos, who are also physios, are really big into their CrossFit. And I first got exposed to the sensible, like smart side of CrossFit through them. And it's a good way to train. It's a very motivating way to train. You teach people the movements. You do really good movements well, and then gradually build up the load and become as strong as you can as a whole human being.
Yeah. So
rather than just like strong quads to squat or whatever.
Yeah, so there's two elements, right? In any area, there's always going to be ends of the spectrum of competency.
Yeah.
Same as a doctor, same as a physio, you guys would have that in your field as well, right?
Absolutely.
So same with the CrossFit gym. You'll have the good ones and you'll have the bad ones and you have the ones in between.
Yeah.
And I think like for us in our profession, we still have the bad ones because they come in injured.
Well, yeah, because they come to you guys after
because
busting
like,
their shoulders
up. I've done CrossFit for the last 5 weeks. Now I'm dead. My shoulder is fucked. What are the next?
And they're the ones that go viral on social media.
Who
make people have a negative perception of CrossFit because they do funny shit with weird technique and hurt themselves.
And look, the interesting thing is that they don't include all of the last 30 years of their life experience that got them to that point where that shoulder popped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it'd be the same for a runner who's been overweight for 20 years and decides to get fit and they hurt their knee running in the first couple of weeks. Like, they haven't put that history behind it as well. Yeah. So that also makes a difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we rebranded to Accelerate Strength just over a year ago now.
Yeah.
And that was exactly for the reason you just said, that we wanted to take away people's drop the barrier for people to be able to come in and work on their health.
Mm. Yeah.
See brand CrossFit, not doing that, too hard. Yeah. So if we remove that, it's actually given more people the opportunity to at least give us a phone call and help them get in the door so they can start working on their health.
Cool.
That's it.
So, is it still CrossFit?
Yeah, yeah. So we're still a CrossFit affiliate.
Yeah. And we don't call it CrossFit.
Yeah, we've just taken out of the branding side of it. Yeah. So we've rebranded with a new brand. It doesn't look CrossFit-y. Just looks like a modern strength and conditioning gym. And that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which has been really good because now we have a – our niche is really, you know, if you know the Bowman area, 25 to 45-year-old male and female.
Yeah.
We have parents. We now have a 14-year-old. We actually have three 14-year-olds. All right.
Really?
We have a couple of, you know, mid to late 50-year-olds, people of all levels of fitness as well. You know, we have runners, we have strength people, footy players, a whole lot.
Yeah.
So taking away that CrossFit brand has made a huge difference.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
But we very much believe in the CrossFit methodology, the way things run, and those systems are unbelievable.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. If done well, I think. If done well. If with good supervision is my thing. Good coaching.
Well, the thing that I loved about it was the CrossFit methodology is constantly varied functional movement performed at high intensity.
Yeah.
And you can interpret that any way you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could interpret that into running, right? You could take that methodology and turn it into a running program.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
So I really love that about CrossFit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I'm glad that I've been exposed to CrossFit in a different way over the last 2 to 3 years. Because I used to think it was a joke.
Mm.
But I think it's an incredibly good way to train. And there's no hiding from it either. If you've got, you know, poor shoulder function, like, you'll find out at CrossFit.
Mm.
It makes sure that you're a well-rounded, fit, strong human.
Yeah, and that's it. Then you have to then go down the path. We just did a programming seminar in the gym last weekend for all our members, which we run every year, to expose them to why the program is the way it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I lost my train of thought.
Great.
I totally lost my train of thought.
Good seminar? Did it go
well? Oh, yeah, they went fine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, it's like a little plug.
I completely lost my train of thought there. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Exposing people to why you program the way you program.
Yeah, no, I just, that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Let's move on. Yeah, I completely forgot what I was going to say.
So we're kind of getting mad in here for one main reason, but I suppose a couple of reasons as well. You're not a runner.
But, no, definitely not, man.
But you're doing a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very clear. Being a coach, every day I tell people, if you're not good at something, go and get someone to give you guidance. That's the goal of a coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's learning to drive a car or do CrossFit or run or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, I tell people to do this every day. I'm going to pick something I'm not good at. And I'd started reading, I was listening to David Goggins on Joe Rogan. Listened to a lot of his stuff. I was like, oh, this sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And because he talks about the mindset side of things and the disciplines required to do this thing. And that's the kind of bits that I love about the particular training that I do.
Mm.
So I thought, great, I listened to another one of his podcasts and I read his book.
Yeah.
And then I had Born to Run on the Ashid Reddit, my girlfriend, a couple of years ago when she had a running injury, actually.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I've got to read that as well. And then that kind of came into my life. So all these things came together.
Yeah.
And then having just redone the CrossFit course and learning more about programming and plugging holes, I was like, man, because we don't run in our gym based on council restrictions and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's this huge hole in our program. And as the head programmer, I was like, man, we can't have this thing.
Yeah.
So there was another thing that came into my life. I was like, okay, I'm doing a marathon.
Yeah.
And it had always been on the list. Like it was a bucket list thing. So I did a half marathon when I was like 24, and I just rocked up and did it. I was doing heaps of touch footy at the time.
Yeah.
I was pretty fit and young.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, yeah, whatever.
I'll just rock up. My girlfriend at the time had been training for it, and I thought I'll do it as well. And I turned up. I think I had 96 minutes or something like that, but I couldn't walk for like 5 days afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, so I ticked that box, and it's just been sitting there ever since.
Yeah.
It's like all these things came into my life. I'm like, I have to do a marathon now.
Yeah.
So I thought, great, as a coach now, I should go and see you guys.
Mm.
Well, I'm actually seeing Laura, but...
Yeah.
get the guidance from her. Mikey, I've seen you once about with some...
Yeah, and I've been helping Laura with your program as well.
Have you? Yeah, great. So yeah. That's cool. And you guys are openly experienced runners, and that's what you do as physiotherapists as well as your own personal training.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm going to go away, get all the guidance I need from you guys, come and see you as much as I can. And I want to show to people that you can do more than just running to get good at, like, a marathon, for example.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I'm still doing CrossFit once or twice a week.
Yeah.
I would touch footy, we'll finish in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Still surfing most days. So I have all these other things in my life. I'm not planning on to be the best runner in the world. I'm never going to aim to be as quick as you guys are for a marathon.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to compete in that space.
Yeah.
As well as be able to still squat my body weight.
Yeah.
Or 1.5 times my body weight, deadlift twice my body weight, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the goal.
Sweet.
And when injuries come up, I deal with them. I've got that little hip flexor thing at the moment, which is pretty piss weak.
please explain.
Yeah, so I was telling the guys before this, I did 1,300 burpees for a fundraiser for a guy that got his bike stolen at the gym.
He did just say he did 1,300 burpees.
He actually
said that.
In one go.
It was a full setup, actually. I had, like, my snacks on the side. I was in the gym at 5 in the morning, and I started doing them by myself. I had the death metal cranking, and it was sick. I was really enjoying it. And then as people started coming in, they... Well, it was originally 2,000 burpees, and as people started coming in, they wanted to help me out, and they felt bad for me. So
they did some of the burpees.
They did about 700 in total. Yeah. So the guy whose bike got stolen, he did a whole bunch of them because he felt bad that I was doing all this punishment for him. So that was fun. But anyway, I think, like, that with just having started playing touch footy again.
Yeah.
Plus still doing CrossFit, like, it just tipped me over the edge.
Yeah, and you're kind of increasing your running too.
Yeah, one of the things I found actually was my mind was much stronger than what my body was.
Yeah.
So I'd be running along and my heart rate would be, I don't know, 130 or something like that.
Yeah.
But my legs just wouldn't go.
Yeah.
So my mind would want to keep going faster. And then I think I was going a bit too hard at it in the first month. And then this kind of happened. And then I think I spoke, when you guys came down for the podcast, you were talking about long, slow distance stuff.
Yeah.
Like, doing runs where you're just actually not even working hard and that kind of thing. Yeah. So this has probably caused me to learn that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So okay, because I think from, like, how we've been exposed to CrossFit, it tends to be inherently a bit more intense.
Yep.
Like, I know you don't think you should be doing intensity 7 days a week because it's crazy. You need to work on your strength, you need to in your form, you need to do one or two intense sessions a week.
Yep.
And running is exactly the same. You have your one or two really hard sessions you do, and the rest is long, slow distance. So I can imagine you might be going at it a bit too hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because of sort of that CrossFit intensity background going, sweet. And you're fit. It's not like you can sprint 200 meters, no problem.
That's right.
You can go hard. It's just building that base.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of beginning runners or people that are fit and getting into running have this issue where they've got the aerobic fitness and can crank out speed but not the distance, and then they go at too hard for too long, and then everything is just hard running without any, like, proper improvement there. So I think that's a big thing, being a fit person getting into running, to actually learn to take it easy.
Well, that's exactly what I'm in now. Like, this little, it's not that bad, right? Like, I can run 4Ks and it gets sore or whatever. And at the moment, 4Ks is like half of my max distance anyway. So it'd be like a marathon person running 21Ks and their hip getting sore, I suppose. So, but that's exactly what I'm learning now that I have this. I have had to take a step back the last 2 weeks. The good thing is, though, as soon as it got really bad last week, I was hobbling home. I was like, instead of going, fucking hell, like, I can't run, this is the worst thing ever, I started thinking about all the things that I can do.
Yeah.
I could still do all the prehab stuff that Laura gave me, which was like single leg deadlifts and single leg squats and calf raises. No problems with that stuff. Didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, sweet.
I could still roll every day.
Yeah.
There was still some CrossFit stuff I could do. I could keep my fitness up with bench press and that kind of thing. I could still go surfing too. It's just that one particular thing I couldn't do. So I started thinking about all the things that I could continue to do, and that's been helping
me a lot.
So at least I still feel like I'm putting money in the bank.
Yeah.
I just can't physically run at the moment at all.
So this is a classic case of poor load management. Would you agree, Patty?
What does that – explain that term to me.
Load management.
Poor load management.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't an idea of what that would mean if you're talking about strength training, but give me
– So load – I think when we look at running's super repetitive, super high impact. So we talk about the load on your body, the load on your Achilles tendon, the load on your knee, the load on your hip flexor in your case. So you've gone from doing not that many burpees to 1,300 burpees in a row. That's a sharp increase in load.
Yeah.
So we would define that as poor load management. And when you combine that with touch footy, with doing some runs, I think there's a lot of load going into your body at the moment.
So, yeah, it's one of the things actually that's really good, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because the burpee stuff, for me, I mean, you guys don't know me that well, but I do heaps of burpees. Like, I'm reasonably well conditioned to them. Yeah. Definitely doing more on one hit like that's going to be a load issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I actually didn't consider all the other factors. Like having just started playing touch footy again 4 weeks ago, I didn't consider that. I don't think I trained much that week.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was up to running at that point yet either. I think my... I already started running, so I didn't consider that either.
Yeah.
I just was singularly looking at that one thing of doing burpees and like, that's going to be hard. It'll be a few days to recover and then I'll be sweet after that.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at that loading concept across the board.
Mm. Yeah, and you probably would have been fine if it wasn't for touch footy and you're running. If you would just done your normal stuff and then did this, you'd probably go, oh, I'm sore, whatever.
Yeah.
It's made me realize even more that almost everyone, when it comes to health and fitness, they should be asking for a coach. Yeah. Because this is the exact conversation you guys are having to me now about this load management that I have with people that come in. It's like, oh, how many times a week should I come to CrossFit? You know, I've got this injury. How do I deal with that?
Yeah.
But as soon as it was for me and it was in something new that I hadn't been in before, I just blinders were on and I was just doing that one thing. So
yeah, and it even helps, like, even myself personally, if I have an injury or a niggle, I'll, like, most of the time I do understand what's happening in my own body, but I'll still get someone else to look at it because they have they're fresh eyes, they're an unbiased view looking at you.
Unbiased view, exactly. Yeah.
Because like you know your own training, but you might just skip over some detail that you would say to yourself is inconsequential.
Hmm.
But when someone else looks at everything you're doing, that's massive. And when I need help with my training or when I get a niggle, I see someone else as well, even though I think I know all the stuff anyway. So it is super important.
How often do you guys refer out someone that wants to run, perhaps an experienced runner, that shouldn't be running for a while, or is it an off-season maybe, to go to a gym?
I tell just about every runner that I see that I would love if they went to a gym twice a week at any point.
Even if they was to sacrifice two runs a week and said those two runs, they're out of you.
Depends on the individual runner. If someone is a bit niggly and they're doing five runs a week and no strength work, 100%, drop your running down and go to a gym. Don't stop running, but just drop your running a little bit. Take a bit of energy away from that, put a bit of energy into the gym. You'll feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So even to that point, like, you wouldn't – it would depend on the gym, I suppose, and the person.
Yeah.
But you may not prescribe a program for that person. It's just a matter of getting them off the road.
Sometimes we do prescribe a program depending on what's wrong.
Yeah.
If somebody goes – there's nothing wrong, nothing is sore, no niggles, no injuries. What can I do to be a better runner? Strength training.
Yeah.
And it depends on how well versed they are in strength training as a thing, if they need help with that or not.
I guess for us, I personally deal with people who come in with an injury. Like, my right knee is sore.
Yeah, is that the most common thing? People come in with an injury rather than before an injury?
To me as a physiotherapist.
Do they?
Yes, without a doubt.
Okay.
People come in to see me as a physio when they're hurt. And if they have the sore knee, then I'll design a program to fix their knee. And then we try and keep them running throughout that if we can, which most of the time we can. And then as their pain goes away, we can just resume their running. And it's at that point I try and convert most people into some ongoing strength work.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are fine with that. Some people just flat out refuse. And that's cool. That's fine. I just try and educate them as best I can.
Right. And do you end up having an ongoing relationship with that new gym if they sign someone up? If they sign up somewhere?
Like, it's very, 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 very rare that I'll get a runner to sign up to a gym.
Hmm.
A lot of the time people go to a gym already and I might just tweet the stuff they're already doing there.
Okay, that's cool.
But the unique thing with runners is they just want to run and they don't want to go to a gym.
Like
most runners are runners because they don't want to go to the gym.
So really?
They don't want to be indoors doing some sort of weird stuff with weights. They don't understand.
Being inside, lifting heavy shit and putting it back down and then lifting it again and putting it back down to a runner, that's like vomit worthy. And so it's very rare that I will see a runner who doesn't do that, who is open to the idea of doing it. Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
It's really interesting.
It's funny the way the runners go, oh no, going to the gym is so boring. And then you think about running and it's all you do is
the same repetitive thing over and over
for many kilometers. And you're like, how is that boring?
Yeah.
It's just that experience they have with running and how much they love it.
Yeah.
That not doing that can't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I find that really interesting because in my experience, no matter what it is you're doing, for last year, I went through a huge year of developing my skills surfing. Right. So going, I had a year of like being a real beginner and just falling off waves and being a dickhead and all that kind of stuff. And once I got past that phase, and then I spent all of last year, like I could now stand up on waves, you know, 9 times out of 10, and I can practice actual skills.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I mean, surfing's not boring at all because it's different all the time.
Yeah.
But now, like, I'm with that on running. So I'm very new to it.
Mm.
And I would hope that after I do the marathon in September, that I'll continue with it. Mm, and it may be trail running or something different. I don't know yet. But going to the gym and training 2 or 3 times a week enhances that sport rather than hindering it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I find it really interesting. Like, if you're doing your thing and you love it that much, to not even spend 2 hours a week to come in and do some deadlifts and press and some squats and then go home, it seems like insane to me.
Yeah, that's me too.
It seems insane, but
I think it's that does link back to why people run. If you want to run to be your best at it, to perform well, to get your best time or whatever it might be, that's when it's awesome to go to the gym 2 times a week. But most runners out there just run because they like to, because it, you know, it might be good for their mental health. They just enjoy smelling the fresh air and they just like to run because that's what they want to do with their time. And for those people, they don't want to go to the gym.
So CrossFit defines fitness as work capacity across broad time and modal domains. Mm. And I'll put that into context for a runner. So your fitness would be the ability to sprint 400 meters or run 40 kilometers at whatever pace.
Yeah.
But at your maximum effort, that gives you a power output. So 100 meters might take you, say, let's say for an average person, 15 seconds.
Yep.
And then for a marathon, what's a good marathon time? Like 4 hours or something, 3 hours or something? 3.5 hours?
3.5 hours.
3.5.
Well, yeah. Whatever
3.5 hours, you're pretty good.
So you can put that into a formula, right? So your power output is your distance multiplied by the force divided by the time. That's how much power you have, right? And you can do that across all these large domains of time as well.
Yeah.
So that'll measure your fitness. If you want to continue to get better, you want to increase that work capacity.
Yeah.
So if you do a year of training, whatever that training is, you want to get your 100-meter sprint from 15 seconds to maybe 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And you also want to get your marathon time from 3.5 hours to maybe 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If you can do that and across all these different time frames as well, like 5K and all that kind of thing, you've essentially increased your work capacity. Now, that's all well and good in 1 year, but what about for a 25-year-old who wants to continue running when they're 65? Right? So if you're not doing things like getting to the gym twice a week to continue building your glutes and your overall lean muscle mass and reducing body fat, then that life expectancy of that enjoyment of running in the forest and smelling the trees is going to shorten itself.
Exactly, yeah.
So I would like to put it to all the runners out there that don't do the strength training, that this is, yes, you might just enjoy it running in the forest with your friends and having a coffee afterwards. That's great. But without the strength training, you're probably only going to reach a ceiling of 45, not 75 or 85. You know, I think I've heard people say that maybe it's in Born to Run that your peak running age is 65 or something like that. Do you just remember that?
That's in terms of marathon performance. And your peak age for a marathon performance is 34 years old.
Yeah.
And there's some stat that the improvement you make from age 20...
That's what it was.
I think it's the improvement you make from age 20 to 34... The gains you make, it for the amount of time to lose those gains will take you from age 34 to 65 or something.
That's right. That's what it was. If you asked a person off the street, like if you get your fittest between 21 and 35, and 35 is your peak, that's, you know, 14 years.
Yeah.
How long would it take you to lose that? Most people would say, well, 14 years. Yeah. But what you're like saying is
30 odd.
Yeah, continues to go up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the point I'm trying to talk about, is that if you just put in the strength training twice a week, it doesn't have to be much, man. Like, I mean, what do you guys recommend to someone that's never been to a gym before?
Twice a week.
Yeah. Then what kind of stuff do you ask them to do?
Basics. Like I would say, you know, get someone to actually look at your technique first.
Of course.
Don't just go there.
I agree.
And like basic squats, lunges, deadlifts, some single leg work.
I mean, any physio will be able to show you that stuff.
The top four, which is actually evidence-based, and I've spoken about this before, is squats, lunges, deadlifts, and calf raises. Those four, make them as heavy as you can kind of tolerate within your own boundaries. Do that. And I also chuck in some single-leg stability kind of work. which might be a single leg squat and a single leg deadlift. So that's six things. If you do those six things twice a week, mate, like that's
a game changer.
And that's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It is, and for somebody who doesn't do weights or whatever, it can be quite a scary, intimidating thing. So like go via a physio or a coach or go to a gym who has a PT who can show you how to do it or whatever it might be. And if you do that twice a week, that's how to bulletproof yourself. And that's totally. Like scientific literature to back that up.
Yeah.
And look, you'll also get the argument from people that I don't want to do those things in the gym because it's going to fatigue my legs and then I won't be able to run the next day.
Yeah.
Go to the gym and do bench press. It will help your running because it's going to increase your lean muscle tissue.
Yeah.
Reduce, keep your body fat down. It's going to give you the ability to move blood around your body better. You're going to have a bigger heart, that kind of stuff. It all transfers, eh?
Yeah.
So even if you're not doing the specifics that you're saying because you want to save your legs to run that next day, do bench press and bicep curls. Okay.
And the other thing I say to that as well, that, oh, it'll make me tired for the next day. There'll be that initial period of adaptation, the initial 3 to 6 weeks where you do a squat and then for 2 to 3 days afterwards, your legs are on fire and they just feel like lead because you've done something you're not accustomed to. As you spend a few weeks doing that thing, then you do squats and then your legs are quite used to that, so it doesn't gas you for the next day.
Exactly. That's right. But running is exactly the same.
Yeah, it is.
When you first start running.
Dude.
Remember the first time you
ran? My first run was 40 minutes. It was 7Ks. I ran as hard as I could. I think I did 5.5 minute kilometers. Fuck, dude, I couldn't walk for 2 days afterwards.
Exactly.
But within 2 weeks, I thought, Jesus Christ, I'm going to be so injured here.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks, I was sweet.
Yeah. So you develop that tolerance to it. So now a 40-minute run, you can do that, and the next day you can skip out of bed.
Yeah, no trouble.
So you've developed that tolerance. Same with squats and deadlifts.
Yeah.
If you go to the gym and do it for a week or two, you'll hate yourself. You'll feel heavy, and it'll be sore and hot. If you do it for 4, 6, 8 weeks, you start to get used to it, and then you can do a long run the next day, and it's fine.
I'm going to give runners an out too.
No. And so, thanks for coming on.
Strength training is mad too because you literally don't need a warm up. You can go in, pick out a barbell, maybe do a couple of reps. Say you're going to do 5 sets of 5 deadlifts at 100 kilos.
Yeah. Well,
it's probably pretty heavy for someone. 5 sets of 5 kilos at your body weight, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty kind of okay training.
Yeah.
And then maybe you do some ab work after that. That can be your workout for the day.
Yeah.
Like, go home after that. You almost need no warm up for that. Just you can run there if you want. That'll warm your lower back up and warm your glutes up.
Yeah.
Go inside the gym, a little bit sweaty, get out a barbell, do a couple of warm-up sets and just do it. Do your ab work and go home. It'll take you 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's one of the mad things about strength training because I like that you guys said before that it's really good to go and see someone about how you move.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that CrossFit does really well is they define functional movement as being natural and life essential.
Yeah.
So in order to pick up a box off the floor, you need to learn how to do a deadlift.
Yeah.
So because it's a natural movement pattern, if you're in the correct position, technique, let's call it that, you actually can't hurt yourself, even if you're exceeding the amount that you can lift. So let's say, for example, I can only lift 100 kilos. That's my absolute maximum weight for one rep.
Yeah.
If I decide one day I'm going to put 110 on there, as long as I maintain my perfect form on that initial pull off the floor, I won't hurt myself. I just won't lift it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you then start stressing yourself into the space where maybe you round your back a bit or your knee goes your knee collapses or something like that, then that's a problem. So you've gone out of that functional space.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people get the misconception about strength training is it's going to hurt me. Like I'm going to hurt my back doing deadlifts.
Yeah.
But if you take the time to be in the right position and even have someone watch you, it doesn't even have to be a coach. It could be your dog if you wanted to. Like just because the dog's watching, like you're probably going to go, oh, shit, he's watching.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I do this correctly.
Put your phone there and film yourself.
Film yourself is another great idea as well. Like,
and then put it on Instagram.
And then it didn't happen if it didn't go on Instagram. Eh?
First, take your shirt off.
Take your shirt off. Too.
Otherwise, no.
So
what's the use?
So the out for runners is you don't have to put that much effort into it. Run to the gym. That's your warm-up. Do your 5x5 deadlifts. Do some ab work. Go home.
Yeah.
And then later in the week, do the same thing with maybe bench press or overhead press or something that's not off your legs.
Yeah.
And then the accessory work can be, like you said, do like 10 sets of 10 jumping lunges or whatever.
You can do that in your bedroom.
So guys, you do it in your bedroom,
It's that easy.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
It's that easy.
You don't even have to – you can join an Anytime Fitness. It'll cost you, $10 a week?
Yeah.
And maybe go and hire one of their PTs every once in a while to get some coaching on deadlifts.
And it's at this point I'll probably say if I get a patient who comes into me with a niggle and they say, I run 4 times a week and that's all I do, I go, oh, shit, okay. We're going to have to introduce some strength stuff here. I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to have to change that whole entire perception of running and fitness and strength. But if I get a patient in who says, yep, I run 4 times a week, I go to the gym 2x a week, and I do a swim as well, and now I have a niggle, I'm like, sweet, we'll settle the niggle down. You'll probably be fine.
Hmm.
Like, and it's so nice to hear that, because we genuinely know that that's how
yeah.
the body works.
Yeah,
and
totally.
If you can build up capacity in your tissues to tolerate load, then you'll do well.
Yeah, one of the other huge things too I see, CrossFit is bad for this too, is they get so excited about that thing. Is yeah. they do it more and more and more and more. And if I could have the capacity right now, I'd probably run every day. I'm trying to follow my program and not get ahead of myself.
And you spoke about that just earlier before we put the microphone on as well. Was that this is a new thing for you. You have that enthusiasm to do it.
Yeah.
You're kind of having to pull yourself back a little bit and follow a program.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But then when I...
Which is, that's why it's useful to have a program, right?
Totally,
have
yeah.
Have some guidance
yeah.
by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, because like I said, if I was doing it myself, I'd probably just go running every day, which is a problem. But if someone's been doing that over a long period of time, they still have that enthusiasm after 10 or 15, 20 years, and they want to continue that habit of running every single day, I would argue that they're probably only working at their 80% or 70% of their maximum capacity, even if it feels like they're working really hard.
Yeah.
So one of the first things we recommend to our guys in the CrossFit space is, dude, take a rest day and go and smoke a joint or go for a walk outside or go surfing or spend the day with your wife or just do something outside of the gym.
Yeah.
Because even they might say, I'll take a rest day, but I'll come in and I'll do some stretching. I'm like, get out of the space. Like, don't even come in. Go and go away.
Yeah.
And the next day, dude, they feel good, eh?
Yeah.
Like, they just had that little bit of variety in their regular routine of training.
Yeah.
And like I said, it might be going climb a hill or whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the way I approach that is I'm way more flexible in my own running because I think taking it super serious removes some of the enjoyment for me. But I'll say to myself at the start of the week, cool, I'm going to do 4 runs this week. And if I wake up on Monday and I feel great, cool, I'll do a run on Monday. If I wake up on Tuesday and I'm like, I'm tired, then I'll just sleep in. And for me, it's having that little bit of flexibility to say,
it's nice.
I'm going to intend to run, but I feel a bit off. I'm not going to run, but I'll make sure I do it the next day.
Mm.
And it's people that drag themselves out of bed when they feel like shit and they're tired and things hurt. And then they go for a run. Like, that's not fun. So I think, like plan a rest day, but also have a little bit of flexibility in that if you are down, you can just change it up a little bit.
It's a super fine balance. I mean,
it is.
If you're someone that's trying to build a habit of getting into a routine and running and it's something you're not used to and it's a bit uncomfortable, then I get like getting out of bed and sore and do that thing. But for someone like yourself, definitely. Like, if you're an experienced runner, like, it's a non-negotiable and you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But having that planned rest day is, or the flexible you're talking about is sick.
Yeah.
And you might even...
a day off, yeah.
Yeah. And if you've had that morning planned as a run and it's going to be an hour and a half or something like that, and you decide to sleep in for the extra half hour, you might get up, like, drink a coffee, read some of your book, and then go to work. Maybe fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
And, dude, you will smoke your run the next day.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll smoke it. Yeah.
So how long have you been running now?
I think it's only a month.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually logging everything. I just started logging week 5, so a month.
So a month now.
And the marathon is in the middle of September.
Yeah, when it was 15th of September. I just signed up for the other day, 15th of September,
Blackmore's Marathon, Sydney.
Yeah, it's a beautiful run. I picked that one because it's a fantastic run. Like, we run across the bridge first, through the city. It's amazing.
I mean, I've lived in Sydney my whole life, but the Sydney Marathon is stunning.
Yes.
And to run over the Harbour Bridge, through the city, Centennial Park, you finish on the Opera House steps.
On the Opera House steps,
even I'm running around with my jaw dragging on the ground going, shit, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a good run.
You cross the line, someone gives you a high five. I'm hoping I'm going to have my old gym there standing with a carton of beers and I'm just going to smash beers afterwards. I can't wait.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
And they can do it as a team. We're going to sign a few people up as well. They're going to put their shirts on and run together and that kind of thing.
So you're taking a good 6 months to prepare for this.
Yeah. It just happened, like I was saying before, from those events that kind of happened, I was like, I should do this now.
Yeah.
And I thought about it as a realistic thing. I was like, 6 months seems okay.
Yeah.
Is that an okay time frame for...
Yeah. We are coming off a good strength base as well. You're not coming off the couch, which gives you a big advantage too.
Mm.
I can look at you and say, he's probably got strong glutes, quads and calves.
Yep.
So we can say that maybe we'll need to do a bit more stability. I don't like the word stability. Maybe we'll do a bit more single leg stuff, which he may not have done.
That's specific, I'm doing heaps of that at
specific
moment.
To runners.
Yeah.
So we can sharpen his strength work a little bit rather than introduce strength work. But for you, it's just about the slow build of your cardiovascular system.
Laura did a really good job of explaining it to me because I can back squat, I think, 1.5 times my body weight and deadlift maybe a bit over 2 times my body weight.
Yeah.
So there's strength there, but she's like, that's great. Like, that's good that we know that. Now show me, you know, single leg squat 20 times off a 12-inch box, and I was shaking all over the place to some extent and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So she did a really good job of explaining that, well, when you run, you're actually doing this 10,000 times in a 10K run or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. I should probably learn how to do a couple of reps.
And how does your Achilles tendon hold up after springing constantly for 30 minutes?
Oh, it's actually, I'm pretty good. The first 2 weeks, I struggled.
Yeah.
And my calves are a bit sore, so I put a bit of tension into them. But now it's my upper leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has probably got a little bit to do with still doing strength training and CrossFit as well. So.
Cool. So what's your broad strategy for the next 6 months? We've talked about, you know, going to the gym, keeping your surfing up, increasing your run. Like, do you have anything front of mind?
No, it's super simple. So at the moment, the running program is the overarching, it's like the boss.
Yeah.
So I plan that week out. Yeah. At the moment, because I have touch footy, that's kind of, I can't change the day of that.
Mm.
So I put that in, that's Wednesday night, and then I plan the running around that thing. Mm-hmm. So I usually run Monday morning when I'm off, Friday morning when I'm off, and I like Sunday afternoon because it's it's better than going to the pub or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice way to start the week.
Yeah.
So those three things happen. And then the rehab is like scheduled into my calendar, Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. And I've actually blocked that time out, so I can't get work booked then or anything like that.
Yeah. Cool.
And then I just put in a CrossFit workout here and there.
Yeah.
Like 2 a week.
Cool.
We do testing, so we do one test every week, test of fitness every week.
Yeah.
Which is to do with that work capacity stuff I was talking about before.
Mm.
So then I put that in like twice a week and just whatever the workout is, it doesn't matter. So I'm just looking for variety. If it's got a 30-minute workout of box jumps and skipping and something with a barbell, great. If it's a 7-minute workout of something else, then that's fine as well. It doesn't make a difference. It's just about keeping that variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the goal is to maintain what I currently have with strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
And then just put the running stuff on top of it.
Yeah, cool.
Huge.
That's it.
Huge.
What's the goal?
We haven't got one yet. So Laura talked about an A, B, and C goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a normal thing? Or she just blinds back up my ass?
She probably got that from me.
Did she? Oh, right. So,
I'd like to think so anyway. Yeah.
So we have no idea. So I have to do like this first month just to see where I can do. Like I can run at 5-minute kilometers pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
Without a high heart rate.
Yeah.
For 8 or 9 kilometers. That's fine.
I think you're in a good position. You're basically coming in with a clean slate, so you've got no expectation of a 3-hour 14 marathon.
That's what I'm loving, actually.
You don't want to do a sub 4-hour 20, or like you don't have that, so you can literally enjoy the running for what it is. And then you might get an idea of what sort of time you can hit in a couple of months, but you're kind of going in just enjoying the experience of it.
Yeah, because I
pressure, right?
I didn't think I would actually enjoy the running side of it because I've never really enjoyed running. I've always been okay at it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to run 2.4Ks in the army for testing, and that would be like an 8 or 9 minute run.
Yeah.
So I had some sort of idea, but I'd never really put any thought into it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing I'm loving the most, actually, is because I know no boundaries. I have no limits. I don't know how fast I should be doing things other than like 5-minute kilometers feel okay.
Yeah.
So now it's like, the variety is really exciting for me and I'm being super, because I'm a pretty competitive person internally. So now I can be really competitive with myself, which is probably why I've sort of tweaked my hip flexor to start with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I need to learn the slow distance running.
Yeah.
But I can wake up in the morning and go, you know what, I'm just going to run to Piedmont and just whatever. Like, I don't know how long that's going to take me, but I'm just, that looks like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can go, I asked you boys the other day, like, where's your 2 favorite places to run in Sydney? Like that. So now they're in my head. I'm like, I'm just going to wake up one morning and go to Manly Dam and just run it. Like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
So I've got this super, that's why I think I'm so enthusiastic about it, because I can, it's, I didn't realize this before that running is limitless because it's
so much freedom. Yeah.
Yeah. Like way more than, because I see a cyclist go past. I'm like, dude, you're on a bike. Sucks shit. I can run anywhere I want right now. Yeah. And you've got to stick to the trail.
Yeah. And that's, I do that sometimes too. I'll go for a run with no plan in my head. I say, I don't know if I'm going to be 20 minutes or 2.5 hours. Yeah. I'll run and I'll go out of my driver and I'll say, I'm going to turn left. And then
Forrest Gump, baby.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I just felt like running. You look a bit like him too.
Oh, stop it. If you let your hair out and grew your beard more than that bum fluff, you'd be there.
Trying to grow my beard. I have no ability to grow my beard beyond what it is right now.
Well, I shaved every day for 14 years for the army, so that probably helped.
Maybe you can start doing that.
Shave every day.
Every day.
Every day.
No, I'll actually look like a baby.
Just crank it out.
Yeah, just even when there's nothing there, just shave.
If anyone has any tips on how I can grow a better beard, let me know.
Dude, beard oil and shave every day. You're sweet.
And then keep track if that improves your running.
But like basic personal hygiene, it sounds so hard.
Yeah. Well, Forrest Gump grew a mad beard after
he did.
three months of running.
He just ran.
Yeah, he just ran.
Ran across America.
This was a movie, guys.
Just putting that there. Just putting it out there.
What?
But yeah, man. So like, I'm really enjoying that. Like, cause it's got heaps of variety, and I'm like looking forward to just going to random places to run. Cause it all just seems at the moment the main message I'm getting from Mikey and from Laura is just to like get kilometers under my feet.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be long kilometers. Just something.
Time on legs.
Time on legs. Yeah, time on legs. Yeah.
Sick. That's rad, man. Cool. That's a super great insight into how you can go from a strength background into a running kind of domain.
Yeah. Oh, hey, and look, I'll give you some insight into CrossFit gyms too, because probably a lot of you people don't go to a CrossFit gym and they're scared of them. A couple of things to look for. If you're thinking about doing some strength training, I'd highly recommend a CrossFit gym just because they have an hour class and you'll be fully coached the whole time.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Yeah.
Most of them will put you into some sort of onboarding system.
Yeah.
So you'll come in and do, like for us, we do 3 PT sessions.
Yeah.
So you get 1 hour or 3 hours with a coach just to go through all the basics.
Yeah.
Or other gyms have some sort of onboarding system where you might do 2 weeks of a free trial class or 2 weeks of some sort of basic class that they do that's separate to the main thing.
Mm.
That'd be the number one thing to look for.
Yeah.
The number two thing is you should have the ability to talk to a coach before you even step into that door.
Yeah.
So talk about your goals, your training history, which we talked about before, with, you know, understanding the last 30 years of life for you before you start doing your first squat.
Yeah.
So if they don't have those two things in place, probably a good idea to put the phone down or just move on to the next gym.
Yeah.
That's a really good place to start. So the main thing with joining a CrossFit gym is you need to, like with you guys, you need to build a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? It's all well and good for you to tell me to go and do this. Like, here's a program, go. I'm like, there's no trust built there and there's no credibility.
Yeah.
Whereas if we've talked heaps about you guys and your own running, and then, you know, I've been seeing iMove for years as well.
Yeah.
So it's actually taken me 4 years to trust you guys enough to give me a running program to go and do this thing, right? Yeah. So highly recommend CrossFit gyms, but it needs to have some sort of support system at the start before you just chucked into a class.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you do that, like, you'll have a good experience and you only have to go twice a week to help strengthen your running.
Yeah.
It'd be more than enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. Thanks, Maddie.
Cool. Thanks, boys. Yeah,
if anybody wants more CrossFit info podcast, your podcast, where can we find it?
We've just put it on iTunes. It was originally just internally for our members as an extra value add, but they've been bugging us to put it on iTunes. So we just put all our first 50 episodes up last week or the week before.
Yeah.
It's called the Accelerate Strength, the podcast.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's good.
Give us 5 stars. Gets our rating up.
And it also goes for That's Running, by the way.
Yeah, give us
a rating. Give yourselves a rap.
We should say that.
Yeah. That. Jump on there. Give us a 5-star review. Leave us a sick comment. Like, we love reading them.
I don't think I've even rated That's Running.
Come on, mate.
Maybe I will.
I've definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, I might not have.
I've definitely not.
I might have. I don't know. I need to check into that.
I mean, it's not huge for us. I mean, it's not our main. It's not an income earner or anything for us. It's just for us to get on there for half an hour and talk about our ideas about strength.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about mindset and discipline and your approach to things, the language that you use with yourself, that kind of thing.
Huge.
So, that's definitely also applicable to runners.
Yeah, get around it.
And our Instagram page. Check that out too, Accelerate Strength.
Accelerate Strength.
Yep.
Is it at Accelerate Strength?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to forget.
It's pretty hard to forget. It's pretty good.
Is it?
Go check it.
Very cool. All right, thanks, Maddie. Good luck for the next 6 months. September.
Well, he's doing it.
No, I will be in. I will have just done UTMB.
I'm coaching the half marathon, so I'll be running.
Coaching
the half.
What does that mean?
I'm coaching a group for the half marathon.
Oh, cool.
So
you'll be running with them.
Running with them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll give them some tips along the way and
just be there for them and that's cool. Motivate them.
I'll be in Europe severely broken after UTMB.
Drunk.
Oh yeah, you're doing Chamonix, huh?
Yeah.
Oh dude.
You'll be severely drunk, not broken. Well, both.
Probably red wine and cheese.
Sick.
All right, we've tried to wrap it up about 10 times.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, on that note, we need to shout out to some Dutch people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they showed us a message. Thank you, Toon. My Dutch is rusty.
Can you say it in Dutch?
I can.
Is it what? Hoe gaat het met jou? Is that?
Hoe gaat het met jou?
That's the only one.
Toon, dank je wel voor je bericht. Hier is een shout out voor alle Nederlanders in Nederland. Bedankt voor het luisteren.
Yikes, that was scratchy.
It's hard when you... been speaking English for the last 5 years, and all of a sudden you have to go, how the fuck does the Dutch thing work again? and thank you to everywhere else as well for tuning in every week and shooting us messages and stuff like that.
Rad.
We really appreciate it.
Sick.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Maddie.
Cheers.